Would you take the Word of God this morning with me and turn to Proverbs chapter 22, 22nd chapter of Proverbs. The passage this morning will be a familiar passage, but I want to take it in a little bit of a different direction than maybe you've heard before. Because I believe it's very important when it comes to our children. Some of you have grown children, and you're now at the point where God is going to bring into your life grandchildren. And that'll be exciting days ahead. And I'm still raising my children, and I'm looking for placement homes for them, but I, for some reason, the Lord has called me to keep them at this point, so until a good home opens up, we are going to keep them for a few more days. So we got good kids, man. If you got good kids, you are a blessed person. And if you got kids that love you and you love them and don't cause you too much stress and distress, and then you are a blessed person. And I see people nudging people around. David, are you causing your mom stress? No stress. None. Little bit, tiny bit. Let's talk about that after the service. That'd be good. We need to have a conversation. And Chubbs is still causing his mom stress, so that's good. Proverbs chapter 22, very familiar verse number 6. It says this: train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Can I tell you honestly as a parent that this is one of the most confusing verses I've ever read? Just being honest with you this morning, I've heard so many messages on this verse, and I'm just as confused about the verse after I've heard those messages than before I've heard the messages. Because in the same verse, you have the word should. This is a word that should take place. I should be eating supper after the service. I should be laying down for a nap around 2 o'clock. I should be back in the office around 3 o'clock. I should be back here for choir practice at 5:15. I should does not mean I will. Right? So that's where the trouble with the verse comes in. You have train up a child in the way he should go, which is not a promise. It's a hope. It's a faith. It's a I'm going to do my best. But then you have the second part of the verse that sounds like a promise. And I've heard people say, well, this is a verse of principle, and this is a verse of this and that. But you can't get away from the fact that the second part of the verse is a promise. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So in my confusion about this verse, I simply go back and see what's before it. I see what's after it. And I don't try to over-spiritualize it. I think that's sometimes what we try to do. Hi, Esther. Good to see you again. And that's our friend. She comes and see you. Are you back in school? Are you doing well in school? Amen. Praise the Lord. And she's our friend. She comes. She goes to St. Vincent here. And she's a blessing to us. But when you're reading these verses, you have to step back. I think some people, they try to make something say something it doesn't say so that it can say what they want it to say. And I've heard my whole life, I've heard lots of different people. Listen, I'm not debunking everything anybody's ever said. This isn't revolutionary to me. This isn't something that I've got the corner on and everybody else is wrong. I'm just putting it out there for a suggestion this morning, which is what preaching is. I say, thus saith the Lord, but if you don't take it, that's on you. I'm suggesting to you this morning maybe something God would have you to look at. But I think in areas of leadership that we have, this verse can be very helpful to us, but we steer clear of this verse because we don't understand the verse. And I think that that is where we're making a big mistake with our kids. We don't know exactly, we don't know a lot about our kids, so we're just doing our best with our kids. We're hoping if we can get them, we talk about environmentalists. Anybody ever heard of an environmentalist? What's an environmentalist? Somebody tell me, some kook. What's an environmentalist? They might be out hugging a tree today. They're going to plant a whale, plant a tree, save a whale. They're going to talk about global warming. But you know what I found out? A lot of Christian parents are environmentalists. If I can get my kid in the Christian school, if I can get him in church at least once or twice a week, if I can get him around good people, if I can do this, 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 and this, then by the environment that I put them in, they'll not depart from that when they get older. I think that is an absolute farce. I think that is a cop-out and a cowardly way to parent. Well, if I can get them, and listen, am I for Christian education? Yes, we spend a lot of money every year in Christian education around here. I believe in Christian education. Do I believe in Sunday schools? Absolutely. Do I believe in church? Obviously, we're sitting here. So I am not saying that I don't believe in those things, but I do not believe if you have your kids here three times a week, if you have your kids in all the youth activities and have your kids at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and in the Christian school Monday through Friday, that is your promise your kids are going to turn out right. I don't believe that at all. Because I've seen a lot of kids go through the Christian school and they're as wicked as anybody you've ever met in your entire life. I remember going to school with some of them when I was a teenager, and they looked at things that you wouldn't believe and talked about things that you wouldn't believe. And in front of the teachers, they were so kind and so good and so nice and so proper, and they were as evil as Satan himself. And so I do not believe if you get your kids in the right place that your kids are going to turn out. Do they have a better chance? I believe they do. I believe if your kid's in a Christian school, I believe there's a chance for them to catch some things. I believe if your kids are in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I believe they have that chance to catch some things along the way. And with God-fearing preachers and God-fearing teachers and clubs and those kind of things and friends that are the right kind of people in those situations and the right kind of godly activities, do I believe that those things can help a parent along? I absolutely believe that those things can help. But I do not believe that having those things allows you to claim the promise of the second part of this verse. Because we do not believe the environment that somebody is in gives them an excuse for the way they behave or excels them in the way they behave. We are so backward sometimes as God's people. We want to say, well, you can't use your home situation as an excuse. You're in jail because, or you're off track because, or you did this because you made a choice. And it doesn't matter who your mama is and who your daddy is or what church you went to. You made a choice here. And we'll say things like that, I grew up in a bad situation. Doesn't matter if you grew up in a bad situation. God expects this out of you. And that's true. But then at the same token, when our kids don't turn out right, we don't understand because we had them in the right environment. We've got it all backwards. God didn't create your environment. God created your child. Let's look at Psalm 139 real quick. Let's look at a couple of verses here. And I'm going to kind of go around a little bit this morning. I'm not here to stomp on everything you've ever believed, but I really hope we'll adjust some things as parents and grandparents and Sunday school teachers and school teachers and administrators and principals and pastors. I just think that we have such a laid back attitude about the promises of God. We just think that we're going to be able to do whatever we want to do and do it how we think we ought to do it. And then God's obligated for our children to turn out right. And I just don't believe that. I don't believe that that's true. I haven't always believed that. But I'm believing it more and more as I'm watching a generation slide away from God. And they are in church and they have access to all the things of God. And they've got access to the Christian school movement. If you would say to me that the Christian school movement has made a difference in America, I'd be hard-pressed for you to show me some proof that the Christian school movement has made a large difference in America. And I'm not saying, again, we have one. And we're trying to run it the right way and do it the right way. But to say that Christian school has been the savior of America, that's just not true. But we've touted it as that. That's why we started Christian school. We started Christian school so that it would change America, so that it would save our kids. And starting the Christian school didn't save our kids. And having a Wednesday night program never saved our kids. And then starting a bus route or getting them involved in a bunch of ministries didn't save our kids. And having them, so we started a Wednesday night service. And now we've got them in church four times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then the activities on the weekend. And we've got them busy, busy, busy. But it hasn't changed a thing. Because God didn't ordain all the programs. He ordained the home, the church, and the government. That's what He's ordained. That's the three institutions that God has placed on this earth to help guide and direct us to pass along to the next generation that which needs to be passed along, a heritage of the Lord. Look at Psalm 139, if you would. In verse number 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Isn't that so true? God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your kids better than you know your kids. It says, Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts, my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Skip down to verse number 13. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. David here in Psalm 139 is simply saying to the Lord, I understand something, Lord. You made me. You made me different from anybody else. You look around this room this morning, and there are people that are related. We have the McClellan family back here that's related. We've got the Solos that are related. We've got the Shorts who are related. We've got people all around this auditorium that are related. And you say, well, they look a little like each other, or they act a little bit like each other. But no matter how much you act like somebody and how much you look like somebody, God fearfully and wonderfully made you. And so when you try to put 30-something kids into a school, or you try to put 20 kids into a youth group, the hope cannot be in one thing. The hope must be with that one child. It must not be something that we hang all of our hope on the Sunday school teacher, upon the preacher, upon that assistant pastor, upon that youth pastor, upon that school teacher, upon that grandparent, upon that parent. You can't say, well, everything depends on you. It's riding on you. My kids don't turn out right. It's your fault. And how many people have gotten bitter against the church and bitter against God and bitter against the things of God because their children departed from the things of God? Because they thought if they just had them in the right place, they would get it. God is not interested in your children being in the right place or in the right program. He wants them to have the right parental training. And that is where we must focus. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. I have three daughters, and they're all very, very different. They're all very fearfully and wonderfully made. They're all as different as night and day from each other. They have some characteristics of their mom and dad. They have some of the things that we have. One of my daughters laughs like my wife. We have pegged her. She has the same exact laugh as my wife. Others, the children have the same things that bother them that bother me, or they have the same strength as one of us or the same weakness as one of us. But all three of them have their own personalities. All three of them have their own way of doing things. And that, I believe, is where we miss it. My old sister, compare ourselves with ourselves is unwise. I think what's happening in our homes, if we're not careful, is we're not studying our children that are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. They're made differently, but we're treating them the same. They're created as individuals, but we keep them, we always train them as a collective group. And we have to be careful because the Bible says, train up a child in the way he, what's the next words? Should go. Do you know that there's a way that your child should go? And the way that Lauren should go is not the same way that Autumn should go? That's why it drives me insane when parents judge other parents. Well, she nurses her child. Thinks she should nurse her child. That child over a year old shouldn't be nursing that child. Why don't you be quiet? There's a way that they should go, and it might not be the same way you should go. And if their child is not potty trained at a certain age, well, my child was potty trained at 3 months. That child has Pampers on and he's 8 years old. What in the world is wrong with that child? You just need to settle back and you should probably look at your kids and you probably say, hey, there's a way that my children should go and it's not the way that your children should go. And matter of fact, even within my own family, there's different ways my children should go. To set my children down at a piano, Olivia would just smash her head on the piano keys until she knocked herself out. Am I right, Lauren? You couldn't get Olivia to play a musical note. She loves to sing and make up words and songs. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You just get near the shower on a school morning or a night she's taking a shower, and you just listen to the song she makes up. It's a beautiful thing, man. I have no idea. Some Prince Charming self was the other night. It was great. It was wonderful. But listen, I could say, well, Autumn plays the piano, and Autumn's decent at the piano, so Olivia, sit down and become decent at the piano. That's not the way that Olivia should go. And India, the other day, says, Dad, I want to play the flute. I said, have you ever seen a flute? She said, I saw a picture of one. And I said, and why do you want to play the flute? She said, it looked cool. The person was playing like this. I thought that was awesome. And I said, so you want to play the flute? She said, yes, I want to play the flute. And she's pretty talented. She's got talent. She learns things pretty quick. And she's pretty smart. And I thought, all right, maybe we get her a flute. I don't know. And then Brother Dave says, well, I have a flute. And I said, why do you have a flute? And like a typical man, he said, I got a good deal on it once, man. You didn't know you needed a flute, but you bought a flute. Yeah. And it was originally $200-something, but you got it for $100-something. And it was a good deal. Yeah. And so you just bought a flute with no intention of ever learning the flute. No, never even took it out of the package. Praise the Lord, because my daughter needs a flute. He's like, well, then she's got a flute, man. Praise the Lord. Got a good deal on one. He got a good deal on it, so I could get a good deal on it. But what I'm saying this morning is, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. You know why most children do not end up going the way that they ought to go? Is because you never directed them the way they should go. If your child is musically talented, you probably ought to train them in the way they should go musically. and not let them be interested in all this other stuff the world has, but put them in the way that they should go. And if they're talented and they sing, then you should get them involved in things with singing. If they're academically smart, you need to feed into that academic smartness. If they're a good reader, you need to get them in books. If they're a person who has a... And we're going to talk more about this this evening. I'm going to talk about the different personality types this evening and how you can know what kind of child you're raising in your home. Because sometimes people say, well, you don't ever pay attention. Well, that's because it's coming from somebody who has laser focus and you're dealing with somebody who is not choleric or not powerful choleric, or they're not melancholy and laser focused. They're more of a person who likes to be flighty and likes to go over here and do this, and they're interested in 10 things and you're interested in one thing, and it's driving you crazy. And God's shown you have a child interested in 10 things and the way they should go. You know why they will not depart from it when they're older? Because their parent nestled them and ushered them and nurtured them and admonished them in the way they should go. How many parents can say they sent their child in the way they should go? It's amazing. People in the ministry, we get accused. Well, you just want everybody to be in full-time ministry. No. Do I believe we need more full-time ministry people? Absolutely. I believe that. But I believe that people should do what the will of God is for their life, including my own children. And if that means my children don't end up in full-time ministry, but they're in the way they should go, it doesn't matter what one other person in this universe says, because in the end, they will not depart from the way that they should go. Well, I don't think your children should be involved in that activity. Well, too bad. Not your child. Well, I think that you should do this, this, and this. Well, too bad. You're not the parent. Grandparents, you got to be careful of this. Nurture what the parents are doing. Don't go against what the parents are doing. Just forget about treating your children the same. Stop trying to get your B and C student to match your A student. Now, if they need to work harder, then encourage them to work harder. But don't say, why can't you be like? Because they were fearfully and wonderfully made, and the best grade they might get is a B. The best grade they might get a C. And in the end, they might be the pastor of a church in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and their average in their entire life was never above a C average. And God can still use a C average student just like He can use an A average student. And the A average student has a way they should go. And the C average student has a way they should go. And the C average student has no focus and no attention span bigger than a gnat. And God can still have him pastor a church. And He gives him the A student as an assistant pastor that has laser focus and can multitask while this guy's just dancing around saying, everything's wonderful. Isn't this great? God is good. This is the most wonderful thing ever. Now you do all the work. Everything I just said, let's get it done. Because God can use C students just like He can use A students. And if both of us are in the way that we should go, then the C student and the A student will not depart from the will of God. Because we've been trained in the way we should go. And I can tell you one thing. My sister was smart as a whip, but my mother never said, why don't you get grades like Tanya? I'm so thankful. I told myself, why don't you get grades like Tanya? What is wrong with you? Why don't you get A's? C's, B's, D's. Oh, academically ineligible. Can't go to the basketball game today. Got to do another report. That was me. Go to college. Oh, my word. How did I make it more than a day at college? Yeah, that's true. You are not a priest. And this is not confessional time. Security, get that woman out of here. I got some stories I'm about to tell. Hey, listen. She, summa cum laude, whatever that is, that's what she was. I read it beside her name when she graduated. Summa cum laude, laude, summa summa haba haba. She was a summa summa haba haba. That was my wife. See, they put special ropes on. They wanted to put a rope on me at graduation, but it wasn't a gold cord and all that stuff that some of them were carrying. But you know what? I'm thankful that I was trained in the way I should go. My parents had a pretty strong opinion of what college I should go to, and they ended up taking me to a different college that I felt like the Lord wanted me to go to, and they saw that I didn't necessarily like the big city college. I was more of a country college and a little bit different style, and that was kind of my style, and some of my friends that were along the same style as me of personalities and things were going to the same college, and they just did that, and I'm so thankful these many years later that they did that. I mean, because they could have stood pretty strong against that. And that place is where I found my wife. And in that place is where I found the will of God for my life. And that place is where I changed my major into a preaching major. And that's where I changed the music that God was inundating me with. Just the worldly music. I was getting so off track. It was becoming an idol rather than just an instrument or rather than just a song. It was becoming an idol to me. And that's a place where I found those things. And I'm so glad because parents, we have to be careful in the way they should go. There is a way your child should go. And it might not be in step with the Joneses or the Smiths. It might not be in step with what everybody else is doing. But you have to know the way that God wants you to lead your children. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. They have a personality. They have a style. They have bents to them. They have gifts that they have. They have talents that other people don't have. And you've got to find those things. You're not going to read it in a book. You're not going to figure it out by studying it from afar. It's going to be getting up close with them and showing them. And search me, O God, and help me with my kids. And help me to train them. Help me to train them in the way they should go. If that means that my child ends up being a famous piano player at a concerto or a symphony, and she's got a headline thing at a symphony, and that's what she does with her life, and she's married to the right person, and she's going to church, and she's giving God her life, and she happens to use that instrument as a way of making money or a way of getting the Lord's name out there in front of the world, listen, who are we to say that's not the will of God? That might be the way she should go. I find a bunch of Christians, they want the will of God, the will of God. I've never seen more Christians more miserable in all my life doing the will of God. Man, if I was somebody unsaved looking into the church house, I don't think I'd want what we have either. I've got to go to work, and I've got to have this job, and I've got to do this, and a stinking husband, and she's always nagging on me, and I've got to do this around the house, and these kids never leave me. Wow, I'm glad. Good thing you're doing the will of God. You know why you keep departing things? You know why you keep departing things? It's because you've never found the way you should go. You know why your children keep quitting things and they're miserable at everything they do? Because they don't have a parent who will study them fearfully and wonderfully made. And push them in the way that they should go with their gifts and their talents and their abilities. And if one of my daughters becomes a clown at the circus, which wouldn't surprise me one bit. Or if somebody goes to the Turks and Caicos Islands and uses juggling to reach an entire island of children like the Pied Piper of Christianity with juggling and brings all of those children to show them the gospel of Jesus Christ, then somebody who had an interest in juggling and it was nurtured by their parents at the age of 12 can go to the Turks and the Caicos Islands and do something as silly as juggling to reach an island for Jesus Christ. Because that's the way you should go. If you're a missionary, people don't have to pull your teeth to go to the mission field because that's the way you should go. It's not people think, oh, how do you pastor all these people? I want more people to pastor. I don't know how you deal with all those things. Good, because I deal with them, not you. This is the way I should go. And God willing, and if I stay in this way, that I'll not depart from it. And I believe if we as parents will study our children fearfully and wonderfully made, and see their bents, and see their gifts, and see their talents, and see their abilities, and see their interests, and see the way they work and the way they think, if we'll study that and we'll push them along in the way they should go, and natural affections and natural things that are happening in their life, we're nurturing those things and admonishing them in those things and raising them up in those things, I truly believe Proverbs 22, verse number 6, finally makes sense to me. That if I'll do the work of training my child, not in the way that I want them to go, not fulfilling my sports dreams that I never got all the way done with and I want to live through them, not getting them everything they want because I want them to be happy and I want them to be excited about life and I want them to like their mom and dad so I get them everything. Not that. But if I train them in the way they should go, Proverbs 22:6 makes sense. That every child I've ever seen that has a great relationship with their parents, and their parents encourage them, their parents said, you're a hockey player, you can skate like the wind. I want you to be a hockey player, but I want you to use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see you flying up and down that piano, and I want you to use the piano for God's honor. Every parent I've ever seen do that. Oh, their child might not have turned out the way you thought they should turn out. But I've watched all these years later, while everybody else is trying to fix their kids into boxes, and in this little path of the way you should go, I see these other parents that say, here's your gifts and here's your talents and here's how you're bent and here's how you think and here's your personality. And I, as a parent, will study that and nurture that and ask God, because I lack wisdom in that area, I ask God to help me that all these years later, they've never departed from it. Oh, they've got off track here and there, and they've messed up here and there, and they've got some scars to prove it, and unfortunately those things happen. But I've never seen a parent raise their child that way and the children depart from the faith of their parents. May God help us as we go to the next generation to not force them, to not make them to go in the way they should go. But may we train them in the way they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart from it. A promise? Absolutely. A principle? Most definitely. All of us need to start studying a little bit harder. Not our environment, not more services, not more clubs, not more programs. More of my children. How did God create them? Fearfully and wonderfully. He knows what they're supposed to do from the moment they were conceived. May God help me to find the wisdom to train them in the way they should go. Would you stand together with me forward to prayer this morning?